I ain't the kind who wear a tie, button up from 9 to 5. I tried that life but said goodbye. I'm not always polite, but I get the job done. Who says that work can never be fun? I'm simply unprofessional. Simply unprofessional. Yeah. I'm professional. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm professional. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm unprofessional.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to a very special episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby, and joining me tonight, we got my co-host, Devin.
Hey, everybody.
And we have a very, very special guest, if you couldn't tell. We got Ross Malcolm Boyd on tonight, who does the intro music for Simply Unprofessional and The Brood.
Hey, hey, how's it going?
Not too bad, Ross. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Oh, I love the energy, man. I love live music. I've always wanted to do this.
So have I.
Well, you know, now we're finally getting around to it. And mm-hmm. for those of you who are listening during the day when this comes out, because this comes out on Friday, I am at Boston Comic Con. So send me a message.
Oh, nice.
Send me a poke. I'll be there with Clay, who's another member on The Brood, actually.
Damn. What are you most excited about at Boston Comic Con? Because I'm jealous, and every time, I mean, I don't know where I'm going to be at any time. Like, yeah, what's good?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, we got a meet and greet with Felicia Day. I'm really excited about that.
What?
We get to meet Stan Lee for his last East Coast tour.
No way.
Kevin Smith is going to be there with Jason Mewes.
Oh my God!
Unless they've changed it, almost the entire cast of the Rocky Horror Picture Show is gonna be there.
No shit!
Yeah.
Wow.
So, it's gonna be great, and this is my first time ever going to Boston Comic Con.
Sworn you went last year.
No, me and Goose, we went to PAX East, which is a bigger, gaming style convention.
Right.
So this is my first big comic book convention.
Are you just like...
I'm ecstatic. I don't know. Like, Clay busted out for my birthday. He got us the 3-day VIP pass.
Uh-huh.
So we get to skip lines. The doors open on Friday at 4 p.m. We get to go pick up our tickets at noon, and then they open the doors for us at 2. So we get to walk around the convention center before they all let in all like the general admission people.
That is wild.
Yeah, it's insane. I was reading reading the schedules, and there's some really interesting things. Like, I can understand why they would do it, but to me, it's just an odd place to have one. They have speed dating at Boston Comic Con.
Really?
Yeah. There's, I think, 2 sessions each day for all 3 days. It's insane.
I wonder what the questions... Well, no, I guess speed dating... I'm thinking of, like, the game show.
Yeah, no, speed dating is just, like, you get up and walk around on all
just
the tables
sit
and
talk,
see the
buzzer.
Yeah. And then,
dude, can you imagine, like, speed dating at a place where people are cosplaying?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, is, like, I don't know how popular it would be, but I can understand why they would have it there at the same time. Like,
well, I've heard through the grapevine that that's a place where people go to fuck a lot. Like,
it's
there's,
true.
Like,
just
massive
Comic-Con
hookups
in general?
It's totally true.
Yeah, I've heard stories, and, like, I don't know, yeah, I've never been, so, like, I couldn't tell you. But I've heard that people are hooking up all the time at those sorts of events.
Any convention. I can, I've been to a few anime conventions in the past. Same thing. Same thing. Although you have to be very careful at anime conventions. You have to, You have to ID everybody.
That hentai.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to ID everybody.
Every squid.
Yep.
If they don't look 50, you ID them. That's pretty much the rule.
It's like grocery stores and alcohol.
Yes. Yes.
I'm still getting carded with gray in my beard.
Man.
That's exactly it.
There's me.
If they don't
look
like a hard
age.
50, you just need to ID.
Right. And then, me, I look age, but then the second I shave, I look like I'm 14. It's gross. I don't like it.
I haven't shaved in years, so I have no idea what's sitting underneath this thing, but I look at pictures of myself with sans beard, and I am just a child. Uh-huh. I don't know what the hell is going on under there.
Yep.
I would love for somebody to shave you one night in your sleep. You wake up in the morning and genuinely freak out because you don't know who you're looking at in the mirror.
I'd get scared. I'd look at the mirror and be like, what the fuck? And then punch the mirror.
I was just going to say,
get
punch
out of my
the
house.
Mirror.
Get out of my house. Like, where are you?
It's me. And then next week, after Comic-Con, next week is Gen Con, and Devin is going to that one.
Yes, sir.
Devin and
nice.
a lot of the other people from Distractions Media are going to be going to that one.
Awesome. So what is you excited about Gen Con?
Man, you know.
Russ are good at words.
Questions?
We're on a podcast.
Wordsmith. Malcolm Boyd. Okay.
Wordsmith.
Yeah, Devin, I don't know if you've gotten
that
question.
What you would call us.
I don't know if anybody's actually asked you that question. Is there anything in particular you're excited about for Gen Con?
I am. There's a couple of, it feels weird saying it because I'm on a podcast that does this, but there are a couple of people who a podcast that lets you that are going to be there. So I'm excited to see them. The whole RPPR crew is going to be there. I'm happy to see them. Couple books I'm looking to pick up, but I'm not I haven't been to a convention in probably 5 or 6 years, which is really sad because there's a convention in my hometown and I just always ignore it. So I'm just the experience is what I'm looking forward to because I haven't been to anything big in a while.
You're not looking forward to having to drink mystery fluid?
No.
No?
Wait,
not at all.
What? I don't know.
Come on.
Is there a mystery fluid? What's going on?
We had a live stream. In June.
Yes.
And I forget what the exact details were, but if people donated certain amounts, they could give X amount of choices for different various things that they'd want to see some of the cash drink in a mixed drink. It could be anything. And they're going to put it all in a spin wheel, and they're going to spin and create these mixed drink concoctions or whatnot. They have to drink them.
Oh boy!
Yeah, I know for my choices, I doubled up on mayonnaise. I put mayonnaise in there twice. I put milk. I put mustard, and then I put.
I'm gonna be sick that day.
I put habanero Tabasco sauce.
Oh
this
man!
This is true. This is all. This is true, and I don't know how I got volunteered for this. It was something that was brought across the table. And I must have not been paying attention.
No, I think you tend to, anytime someone's like, hey, is anybody game for X? I think, I don't know what it is, Devin. I think maybe you drown out the is, but you're always like, yeah, I'll do it, whatever. You just raise your hand and volunteer.
It's true. It's true. Or sometimes I'll just volunteer because, whatever.
You volunteered for the hot pepper SU.
You only live once.
I mean, that's true.
I mean,
unless
nothing's going to kill me.
Unless you're a vampire, then you live twice. Technically.
Yes. Well, technically, yes and no, because you don't live the second time. It's a gray area.
It's a gray area.
that kind of can describe my life in general. It's a gray area. but yeah. Yeah, I mean... You only live once. Why not? Austin wanted to put a lot of stuff, and I'm like, dude, you don't seem to understand it's not good.
Yeah.
I showed him a lot of videos of people doing this. I'm like, it's not. It never ends well.
Oh no, it's gonna end in vomit. It's gonna end lots and lots of vomit.
What I wanted to do was I wanted to do the nasty pizza challenge. Where we have to bake. We get cheese pizza, then we would need a kitchen, and then we have to put toppings on them and bake. And bake the pizza and eat the pizza.
Oh, whatever. I'd be up for that.
Yeah,
I love
pizza. But then you have random toppings like
I don't care
marshmallows and anchovies.
Oh fuck,
dude, you're getting me hungry.
I've tried anchovies. I don't like anchovies. I've tried
anchovies or whatever.
It's just salt.
I'll take anchovies any day over gefilte fish. Gefilte fish is disgusting.
I know Austin's gonna have a hard time with this mixed drink challenge because Austin saw something on TV and he decided to try it. He put a raw egg in his beer and he tried drinking it and he got sick afterwards. He didn't like it.
Don't ruin a good beer.
He was like, well, it was breakfast. I figured it wouldn't be as bad. It's like, that doesn't matter. That's gross.
Well, okay, I can say this for sure. Some people with raw egg, some people can do it. Some people can't. Like, some people just cannot deal with the texture. Yeah. Like, and literally their body, like, rejects it.
Now, I will say, speaking of weird foods and stuff like that, I'm going to bring something up. And Devin, you've heard me talk about this. But now we're talking to the person who got me onto this.
I think I know where this is going.
Except for there's one little thing, and I do use the flavor packet.
The peanut butter ramen?
Peanut butter ramen.
Yep.
So, growing up, it always confused me and even kind of grossed me out that anytime Ross ate ramen, he wouldn't put the flavor packet in, but he'd just mix peanut butter in with his ramen.
It wasn't just peanut butter. It's peanut butter, a little bit of butter, and a couple drops of soy sauce.
Sure. It grossed me out regardless. And then finally, he broke me down. He's like, just try it. So I was like, okay, but I'm putting the flavor packet in because I love chicken-flavored ramen. That's my jam. So I put a little bit of peanut butter in there, and then I realized, holy fuck, this tastes like peanut chicken, and I love peanut chicken.
Yep.
So I'm in love with peanut butter in my chicken ramen now. Then, motherfucker Ross came over to my house one night, on a night that I was exceptionally poor, and we were hanging out watching movies, and I was like, sorry, dude, I don't have much to eat, man. He's like, okay, we're going to have something, you're going to try it, just eat it. And I think it was peanut butter and mustard.
Yes.
A peanut butter mustard sandwich. Now, yes. Devin, I'm going to tell you this right now. It does not sound satisfying. It does not sound good. It was not bad.
Well, honestly, like the peanut butter mustard thing is not far off from the peanut butter ramen noodles. My mom was the peanut butter ramen woman. She's like, that's the only way that I knew how to eat ramen noodles growing up. Like, we never ate them normal. Like, my mom always prepared them with peanut butter and soy sauce. The peanut butter and mustard thing was a weird thing that my dad would do. And again, like, there was a very brief period of time in my life where I thought it was weird, but then I tried it and it's like, oh no, I get this. And like, it wasn't until I was older that I kind of made the connection to like Thai food, you know, like peanut butter noodles or peanut butter chicken, like peanut chicken, that sort of flavor, like that spicy and sweet peanut flavor. So it makes sense when you break it down like that. But when you say peanut butter and mustard, it's like, what the hell are they doing?
Right. You definitely had me caught off guard.
Yeah, the peanut butter and mustard. I mean, so honestly, and I will say this from, you know, this isn't because it's just because I like you, Abby. Neither of those really bothered me. I understood instantly. Like, yeah, you know, peanut chicken, that makes sense. Like, I'm cool with that. I'm totally in, you know, because to this day, I mean, some people still say it's weird. I'll get my ramen super, super hot. I'll drop a raw egg in it and I'll cook the egg in it. Like, I drop
soup. Yes.
Yep. I do that all the time. Delicious. But that's the one sandwich that I can't deal with, I cannot deal with, and it's a forgotten Southern sandwich for a good reason, is the peanut butter and mayo.
Ugh.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
Well, see, have an aversion to mayonnaise in general. Like, mayonnaise is one of the few foods that I just cannot do under any circumstances.
It's a texture thing for a lot of people. It's texture.
Yeah. Like, I bet it's like the raw egg thing.
Poor. It is. I've been super poor, and it's like mustard sandwich or mayo sandwich. Mustard sandwich all day.
Mayo. That's the
Mayo's
thing.
Fine.
I like mayo. I cannot even begin to fathom mayo and peanut butter. That sounds
disgusting. Now, a mayo. Now, you see, another little cool trick. If you make a tuna melt, don't use butter on the bread. Use mayo on the outside. It'll brown just like, what you got? It'll brown just like butter.
Yeah.
But will also give you a nice tangy flavor.
People say really the same thing about grilled cheese. Instead of using butter, put a little bit of
mayo. I've heard
that
too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, mayo is just oil and egg. That's all it is. It's oil and egg. All
right. Now, since we're on the topic of food real quick, our listeners are still going to be like, who the fuck is Ross Malcolm Boyd?
let's not get to it until like the last 10 minutes and
I
do like a quick crash course.
Yeah, I promise we will.
Literally, you should just end the episode with like, oh yeah, this is Ross. He's my friend. He recorded this. So, he's a magician. Peace.
But since we're on food.
He's a chicken farmer.
One thing I got to say, all right, I have nothing against this. I lived in Texas. I loved it there. It was fantastic. I loved the food. Everything. But the one thing that really got to me, and I don't know if this is more of a cultural thing or if it's just growing up, like we used to have Sunday morning breakfasts at my house. And my dad would cook, and it'd be eggs and toast and home fries that he'd cook up in the pan and bacon and, you know, whatever. Get down to Texas, they hand you a plate for breakfast. It's literally biscuit and gravy. Like, I've heard biscuits and gravy. I didn't think that was all it was. Like,
no, it's biscuits and sausage gravy. That is it.
Yeah, so they
and
put,
you may
they
get
put
sausage
down,
pieces, you may not.
So they put down this plate in front of me that has a biscuit and some gravy on it, and it's like, uh-huh. Okay, where's the eggs? Where's the bacon? Like, this is a cool side. Where's the rest of it? You know?
Yeah, I've been there. I've definitely been there. Because I have relatives that, you know, live down south. So I'll go visit them. They'll serve up. But see, they serve up like a plate of biscuits and gravy. You get a plate. You'll get like five biscuits smothered in gravy. And then I think there's a comedian that said it best. He's like, there's a reason why everything in the south moves slower. They start their day with that shit. That is the basis of cement.
Yeah.
That it is cement in your stomach.
It is. Man.
You get biscuits and gravy. And it just sits there. And it will stay there
forever. Yeah, that was the general Sunday routine down there was you had your biscuits and gravy, big plate of biscuits and gravy, and then everybody went from the kitchen to the living room and sat down. And they just stayed in the living room and watched TV and they just slept.
Because you couldn't do anything else.
What the hell? And then, like, I'd have to work. So I'd have biscuits and gravy and then I'd be like, oh, I gotta go to work. I worked at a bank.
Ugh. Yeah, the biscuits and gravy thing, like I dug the biscuits and gravy, but I don't think I had them for the first time in Texas. I was somewhere when we were traveling in the South. And I liked them, but I kind of knew what I was getting into. Like I was looking at the menu and it's biscuit and gravy and that's it. So I would always get like a side of like fried okra or something like that. And man, when you get fried okra, that makes up for everything. I don't know if you guys have had that.
I've had fried okra.
I love fried okra.
Oh yeah. My God.
Like, I hate raw okra. It is so hard to just like, if you just cook
do anything
and the tech, it's like you're just like, I'm done. I can't do this. This is just, it goes everywhere. But fried okra is delicious.
The fried stuff is amazing. That made up for the weirdness of biscuits and gravy to me.
All right. I'm looking up like weird southern sandwiches
dude,
now
in
because
the South, you can fry anything.
Oh yeah, they fry everything down there. They fry butter. I'm like, how do you fry butter? Like they'll fry sticks of butter. What's the point?
when we were first coming into North Carolina earlier this year, I had boiled peanuts for the first time, and I was really surprised at how good they were. I didn't know what to expect. I'm like, I no idea what a boiled peanut is going to do. But they're soft, and spicy. Cause they like just cook it up like a spicy soup or something.
Okay.
Like
so
that.
You say soft, give me an example of how soft a boiled peanut is.
All right. So if you get, well, I mean the shell, like they bake them in the shell or they boil them in the shells.
Okay.
So, getting them out of their shells, I found very obnoxious. It was very, very messy. I was driving the RV and trying to eat those and drive at the same time.
Okay.
That was kind of a pain in the ass. But it was so worth it. So the texture of the boiled peanut, they're softer. It's kind of like getting a peanut in your Chinese food. Like when you get like cashews or something like that, and you know, they've been cooked in, you know, with whatever the dish is. So it just softens them a bit. Some of them were closer in texture to like a bean. like a cooked bean, like a kidney bean or something like that. But yeah, again, like I imagine it's all in the spices. They were seasoned very, very well. And it had a nice kick to it. That was something that it was one of those Southern things where we were driving through, like we were stopping for gas and the gas station was selling boiled peanuts. And I'm like, well, shit, we have to do that.
Never even heard of boiled peanuts. This seems strange to me.
it was strange to me too. Like I feel like I'd heard of it, but it wasn't at the front of my mind by any means. It was just like a phrase more than a concept to me.
Right.
You know, like it's like, oh, boiled peanuts. I've heard those words together before. But yeah, I'm like, well, I've got to try that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Devin, definitely worth it. What did you find on your list of weird ass foods, Devin?
Well, you know, not all of them are weird. Some of them are legit. Like, you know, the number one out of 19 here is biscuits and chocolate gravy.
Really?
I don't know why. I mean, that's fine.
Southern people fucking love their biscuits. God damn.
They do. This one, I threw up in my mouth when I read it. Pineapple and mayo sandwich.
Oh, what? God, I don't like. No, I like pineapple by itself. I don't know.
I like mayo by itself with, you know, mayo with certain things and pineapple by itself. I don't know.
I don't know if I could. I don't know if I like pineapple with anything. Like, I like
pizza.
Pineapple and coconut's great.
I like pineapple and ham, actually. Cooked ham.
Pineapple and ham are great. Pineapple and coconut are good. Mm-hmm. Pineapple and alcohol are great.
I do not want pineapple on my pizza.
Come on, put it on there.
No. No,
pineapple and bacon pizza.
It's so polarizing. No. Pineapple and pizza is so polarizing.
It really is.
People are like, either get that shit away from me, or I'm all in. And
yeah, it's one of those things that no matter what, people are going to be yelling at their podcast right now.
Yeah, I think I'm the only person in the world who's indifferent about it. Like sometimes I'll order like a Hawaiian pizza, or I'll get a pepperoni pineapple and mushroom pizza. I don't. Ugh, it's fine.
Nice.
It doesn't bother me. And there's other people like Webby.
No, so Ross, you like pineapple on your pizza?
Yes, I do.
Okay, when you come up here next, when we do our next little gaming session, we'll order a pizza.
Fall.
We'll order some pizza, and we can get your half of pineapple on it, and my half without. And then the second we open the box, I'm just gonna fucking stare at you. I'm gonna say, "Don't let your pineapple touch my pizza." Keep your pineapple on that side.
And then that's when he pulls out a can of Dole and just dumps the entire thing on the pizza.
When it comes to pineapple,
not
I
even
believe
the chunks, just the juice.
When it comes to pineapple on pizza, I prefer segregation. See that?
Okay, so this one you might know about, Webby.
I don't know.
A fluffernutter?
Oh, a fluff sandwich. I mean, I don't know what a fluffernutter technically is. I guess
a fluffernutter is peanut butter and marshmallow cream sandwich.
Yeah. Well, I mean, marshmallow cream, they sell that in containers up here. It's just called fluff. So
yeah, we have
to. It's just peanut butter and fluff sandwich.
Yeah. Sounds fine to me. I eat that. That's something I would eat at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah,
drunk
even my dad
really
just said
something
that's a fluffernutter.
It's a fluffernutter, yeah.
Yeah, I would eat that at like, it's like 2 in the morning. I'm drunk and I want something sweet. That's exactly what I eat.
Yep.
Mayo and mashed potatoes.
Probably
not.
I mean, like sour cream. I could get behind sour cream and mashed potatoes, maybe.
Hell mayo, yeah. I don't know about.
I don't know about mayo.
Cantaloupe and black pepper. I'm not against it. I just don't know why.
When I think mayo.
That's another odd one.
Okay, other than like your generic things like tuna fish, egg salad, stuff like that, that you have to have mayo in, I think like light mayo on like an Italian sandwich, like on just a cold cut sandwich,
or even light mayo on a burger. You can have like light mayo on a burger.
I'm not against it, but I mean that's kind of where I draw my mayo line. Like I don't know, I don't really know if I like mayo in too many of the things.
Yeah, like to put it in perspective, I buy a very modest size of mayo and it sits in my refrigerator and it takes about almost a year to get used.
So
it pretty much runs its course before the expiration date and then it's done.
So here's
and
a
it
question.
Will last to the end of time.
Yes.
So
these last three are throwing me for a fucking loop, though. But go ahead. Yeah.
So here's my question: is I don't consider myself a picky eater. Like, There are very few foods that I don't like.
Didn't you drink transmission fluid?
Listen, I got paid for that. God, we have to dredge this back up again. And you know what? It smelled okay, and it looked like cherry, like, syrup. I don't know.
Was it sweet?
No. It tastes exactly like it smells. And then every time you burp forever afterwards, you smell it. It's weird. Like, I can't still smell it now. I can't smell transmission fluid without tasting it anymore. In any case, there's very few things that I don't like. But I'm finding, as we're talking about this, I don't like a lot of different combinations of foods.
Oh, yeah. That's fair. That's a fair statement, because some of these are dumb. Some of these are like, you were clearly drunk and someone agreed with you. that's clearly what a lot of these are. Like this next one, Fritos in a bowl of milk. First off, I draw the line at just a bowl of milk.
Yes.
Like, if there's not cereal in there, there's never a reason for milk to be in a bowl.
Fritos in a bowl of milk.
Yes.
I've done
corn
something
chips in a bowl of milk.
Now, see, I'll eat corn chips when I'm drinking.
Yeah.
But I would not want corn chips in a bowl of milk. But I've done the opposite spectrum. I've gotten really drunk one time, and I got hungry, and I had a box of Life cereal. And then I realized I didn't have a bowl. So I just poured Mike's Hard Lemonades into my box of Life cereal and then started eating it that way.
Eh, you were drunk. That's fine.
Also, that's not a good idea.
No. I'm sure it tasted awful. The next one is, I mean, it's fine, but just bake a cake. Butter and sugar on bread.
Well, I mean, I eat toast, and then I butter it and put a little bit of cinnamon sugar.
Oh, yeah, me too. Absolutely. But, I mean, if you're not toasting it, if you're just taking a slice of butter and, like, spreading it, a slice of bread, spreading some butter over it, putting sugar on top, acting like that's icing,
just bake a cake. Yeah, either bake a cake or toast a goddamn bread. Like,
exactly. The last one, peanut butter and onion sandwich.
Wait a second.
So yep. I can't hate this one until I try it. And it's something that I feel like I'm going to have to try now.
This picture makes me hate it.
Well, you know, yes, no, I don't. That picture does not look appetizing. Oddly enough, okay, for those of you listening, Devin, he linked us a picture to look at. If you tilt your head to the left slightly, it kind of looks like a monster with really gnarly teeth.
It does. It does. Which is an apt way to describe a peanut
or
butter and onion sandwich.
It looks like a lot of Southern people. Did I go too far? You're right. There's too many onions in there.
It's just, it's too much. Like, it's like, no.
Now, see, I could get behind it solely for the fact that Ross had me eat a peanut butter and mustard sandwich. So I would be willing to try this, but it would have
to,
instead
grilled
of
onion.
Instead of chopped up onions like that, like chopped up, I would have to do really thin sliced onions.
Yeah, and I would have to have them, like, maybe grilled. Grilled onions wouldn't be the worst thing ever.
I don't know. This seems weird. Anyway.
It's definitely not something that would gross me out the same way that some other things would, like, but I don't
pickled
know.
Pig feet?
Is
that tops my list. I've tried it. No.
I don't like
it's not
eyeballs.
Food. You don't need to eat everything on an animal. I'm going to go on record and say that everything does not need to be utilized. Pig feet and chicken feet are amongst the top.
Well, see, the thing is you can use all of the different parts of the animal. You just don't have to consume it. So, like, things like your pig's feet and stuff like that, you could have, especially if
you
want to
string them up
Indian,
on, like, a rope freak out people for Halloween, by all means.
If you're a Native American and whatnot, then I'm sure you're used to, you know, you could do that. If you have a pet dog, let them chew on the pig's feet.
Exactly.
You know?
Webby, did you ever try fried rattlesnake in Texas?
I have not. That's the one thing I did not try was snake. I had alligator. I had a couple other things.
I love alligator.
Alligator is really good.
Alligator is really good. There's a restaurant up here that does rabbit ravioli. So
I had rabbit.
Rabbit ravioli is delicious.
Alligator just tastes like a fishy chicken.
Yep.
So I don't
like a fishy
I,
or frog leg is the best way to put it, but frog legs kind of taste like chicken.
I don't like frog legs.
Chitlins, I draw the line at chitlins as well.
See, no. the thing with frog legs, I'm sure they taste fine. They look like fucking frog legs when you're eating them.
Exactly
I can't get past
what
that.
Yep.
You know, like, I just can't get past it. Now, if you stripped all the meat off of that and just fed it, you know, gave it to me and I'd eat the meat, it's like, cool, whatever. But I can't eat just the fucking whole leg like that. That's gross. Ross, have you ever had frog legs?
I have. They taste just like chicken wings.
Oh, man. God, I can't.
They do. They do. They just look really fucked up.
I never seek them out because they're just more expensive than chicken wings. But
they have them at
the
Chinese buffet in Manchester.
Yeah. Yes, they do. I think that's the first place that I ever had them.
I tried. I put them on my plate. I did. I bit them and I tried eating them and it's like, all right. I mean, they don't taste awful, but I can't get past the fact that when I go to take a bite, I see the little toes on the end of the foot. I don't like it.
You just start playing with the legs. You had two legs, like doing like, hello, my darling. Hello, my dancing across your plate.
It's the same thing. I can't eat those little tiny, the little tiny octopus things, the little tiny squid things. I like fried calamari.
I can do that. That's all day. That's fine.
I like fried calamari, but I don't.
I can't
like
eat
the
live squid. There's some dude that tried to eat live squid. I can't do it.
No.
The squid's like fighting as he's trying to eat it. It's like clawing out of his mouth. I'm like, nope, I'm done right there.
Yeah, have you guys seen Old Boy?
Oh yeah.
I saw the original. I never saw the remake.
Yeah, I've only seen the original.
I hated the original so much that I don't want to watch the remake. Let me guess, you love the original.
No, you know what? I really like the original, but I'm going to say on the record that you're a better person for not liking it.
It's
one of those kinds of movies.
Out of everybody I know, Chris, my buddy Chris, got me to watch this. He says, this is a phenomenal movie. It's a classic, blah, blah, blah. I sat down and I watched it. Eric came in. He watched part of it. And me and Eric both say that we both fucking hate the movie. We think it's dumb. There's one cool scene. That's it. And that's the hallway scene. Yeah. That's the only scene. He beats people to death with a fucking tack hammer. And it's just like the whole rest of the movie is stupid and dumb. And then the revenge plot twist at the end is fucking gross and stupid. And I really wish I had the hour and a half to 2 hours of my life back to go.
Oh, that was a long movie. That was at least 2 hours.
Well, then I wish I had. Then I wish I had that 2 hours back to go watch Pixels again. How's that? That's how much I fucking despise this movie. And I love every movie. Like Eric always gives me shit for every time I give a movie review. I don't know. I enjoy movies. I love.
He
I can't,
must have never
I can,
heard
I can,
our DC film reviews because we ripped that shit apart.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can give little like things about the movie I don't like, but generally speaking, it's like, yeah, I enjoyed that movie. There are very few that I don't like, and that's one of them. The Hills Have Eyes, fucking hated it. I walked out of the theater. I couldn't finish it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but I totally hear you on the liking every movie thing. I feel like I had to learn how to be critical about stuff. Like I had to train myself to differentiate a good movie from a bad movie.
Right.
And I think it was like it was around Star Wars Episode One that I started realizing that. Figuring out that, oh, okay, so some things I don't have to like. Even like, especially with a property that like I am like head over heels for, you know, like Star Wars is my childhood, and facing something that wasn't that good and kind of boring, and you know, just being like, well, I've never not liked a movie before. What am I supposed to do with this?
Well,
you know, it came just at that age where I was learning how to not like things, and even still, like. Looking at things critically, it kind of takes some thought for me because my instinct is, oh, I'm along for the ride.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's generally my thought, too. And, like, I usually have to – I go into a movie and I say either I really liked that movie, like, double thumbs up. It was a good story. It was a good, you know, plot, and they made it very well. Other movies I might say – I mean, it was visually appealing. It was an entertaining movie.
Yeah.
That whenever I say, oh, it was entertaining, that means the fucking story. Don't go see it for a story.
Like the Great Wall? Like the Great Wall?
I don't think I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it. But, yeah, I mean, some movies out there that's just like the stories are shit, but they're visually entertaining and all around just entertaining. And then there's movies out there where it's just like the plot line is shit, the story is shit, the acting is shit, and the visual effects are shit. And it's like, I just can't get behind this.
There's critiquing a movie is difficult. And the reasoning why is because you can objectively have a movie that does everything correct, but is fundamentally a bad movie. And that makes things hard. So, like, for instance, I think what falls, entire franchise, it falls into your second, you know, your second example of they're entertaining, but they're not good movies, is the whole entire Resident Evil franchise. All those movies, they're all entertaining to watch. Like, if they're on, I will stop what I'm doing and I'll watch them, but I will never tell you I enjoy them as movies because they're not, I'm not watching them for the cinematography. They're just, they're eventful. They're fun to watch.
Right.
There's, you know, there's some parts, and I love the franchise. There's some parts in Fast and the Furious that are very much the same way, where you're just like, okay, this is stupid. I know this is stupid, but I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm along for the ride. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like,
car,
you know,
driving superheroes. I mean,
car driving superheroes, or hey, you know, that entire, you had a parking structure collapse on you and somehow you're okay. you know, things like that. It's like, that made a lot of sense. But, you know, and there's some, kind of comes a point where you have to suspend disbelief so much where you can't, like a movie, you have to suspend some disbelief. There comes a point where you have to suspend disbelief so much that you can't not knock the movie for it.
Right.
You know, and it, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, I think Resident Evil is a perfect example of movies that are entertaining but not good.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Especially like the first, I haven't seen all the Resident Evil movies. I saw like the first two at least.
Yeah, I think I saw the first three.
I might have seen the third one. I don't, but I don't remember it. But both of them, like the first one in particular, I really loved. And it was one of that, when I first watched it, I was a little bummed out because it wasn't Resident Evil 1 or 2. Like, the game, like I would, yeah, like I, you know, but watching it again, it's like, no, this is great. And like the references to Alice in Wonderland and stuff like that, I just thought were really, really cool. And yeah, the second one was just like, okay, this is just like a special effects fest. This is awesome.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the movies become. Like, you know, the first one kind of gets you to think, but then literally after that, it's your brain's off.
Yeah,
you're just along for the ride. I mean, objectively, the franchise as a whole, it's not a great movie. They're not great movies, but they're entertaining to watch. You know, I will watch them. I won't complain about it. They're entertaining.
Right.
And you have movies.
There's a place for them. It's one of those things that not everything has to be like some brilliant, you know, thought provoking.
Everything doesn't have to be Oscar bait. You know, you have the Oscar bait movies. Every movie's not meant to be nominated for an Oscar.
Right. Exactly.
That's the intention. You know, every movie's not meant to be that way. There's a place that if every movie was like an Oscar nominated drama, movies would be boring.
Yes.
It would be tremendously boring. I mean, and don't get me wrong. Like I love watching Oscar movies. Like Oscar winning movies are great, you know, or award winning movies. I love watching them, but most of the time they fall in a very niche category where it's just like you watch more than one or two at a time. You're like, yeah, I'm kind of burned out. I'm done.
Right.
I'm done. I can't keep doing this.
And see, for me, it's like, I'll see a movie and I can gauge whether I either have to struggle to find something negative to say about it just because I can be very nitpicky about certain types of movies, and I can draw on certain things. Doesn't make it a bad movie, it's just that's my critiquing it. Then there are movies where it seems 50-50. There's bad things, but there's very good things to say. And then there's movies where it's like, I have to really struggle to find something good about this movie, because this movie fucking sucked. Real bad.
Yeah.
Like, Boy. There's one good fucking thing. The hallway scene. That's it.
Yep.
You know what would have made that movie way better, Ross?
What?
Is if they just kept them locked in that room and ended it there. And just, oh, hey, time goes by, more time goes by, 10 years goes by, 20 years goes by. He died in that room. Roll credits. Awesome movie. There you go.
Hey, look, I'm not like that's a movie that I like that I'm not willing to defend. Particularly for the ending. The ending is really twisted and really messed up. I don't feel urged to tell anybody to watch that movie. If somebody else has seen it and liked it, it's usually like, oh yeah, like that was a crazy movie. But I'm not gonna run out and say, hey, everyone should watch Old Boy.
Now let me ask you this.
Yes.
Off the top of your head, is there any movie that you can think of that you know that you like and would defend that I didn't like?
How did you feel?
Somewhat similar taste in movies.
Yes, we do. How did you feel about Ang Lee's Hulk?
Which one was that?
That was the one with Eric Bana and Jennifer Connelly.
Entertaining, I guess. Again, I'm going to put it in that entertaining category. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way to watch that movie again.
See, I feel
on,
like...
Sure, I'll watch it. I liked the aspect of how they made it kind of appear to be like a comic book.
Yeah.
During the movie. I thought Eric Bana was good as a Bruce Banner.
I think it might be...
And then
if
Ed
it's
Norton
not my
came
favorite...
Out.
Yeah, and I could not get into Ed Norton.
Really? I thought Ed Norton did a better job.
I feel like a lot of people did, but like the Eric Bana Hulk just resonated with me for a lot of different reasons. I really liked that kind of tortured emotional side of the Hulk, and the Hulk being a metaphor for anger issues, which is something that I struggle with.
Right.
So like kind of like feeling that and the whole thing with Jennifer Connelly and being like that their relationship kind of falling apart. I think that movie came out when I was going through a rough patch. Right. So there were a lot of things that I could really relate to with that movie and that portrayal. The only thing that I could kind of agree with people about not liking it was like the wolf fight scene. Like, get it. Like, that wasn't that good. I totally understand. But, like, the scene at the end, like, I mean, Nick Nolte in that was... He's just, like, a beautiful, insane person in that movie. Mm-hmm. He's wild. And what's his name? Sam Elliott as General Ross?
Yep.
Like, that was perfect casting. I've probably got Eric Bana and Mark Ruffalo tied for Hulks, and for different reasons. Like, again, Eric Bana's Hulk was kind of more brooding and inward, you know, like it was like the emotional side of Hulk, the current Hulk is just a grumpy ass, and I fucking love both.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, the Edward Norton one was just like, I just felt like it was kind of forgettable.
Fair enough.
What
about Lord of Illusions? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
We're gonna save that for when we watch it. Maybe that's something we could do this fall too. We can watch that
while eating pineapple pizza.
No,
while eating
pineapple off my pizza
and playing Final Fantasy Tactics.
Dude, playing that in 24 hours, that's a trip, man. 24 hours, we'd still be in chapter one just trying to level up our guys.
Oh, I bet.
So we are 43 minutes in. Everybody listening, if you're just tuning in, what the fuck? This isn't the radio. Start at the beginning, dumbass.
You're doing podcasts wrong.
Yeah, you're doing podcasts wrong. But we're here with Ross Malcolm Boyd, musician. Professional musician.
That's correct.
That's a trip. Because I just... See, to me, it's weird, which is another reason why I wanted at least Devin here in case he had questions for you regarding what it is you do and such. But to me, it's a trip to just say professional musician, because just yesterday we were just hanging out in your living room at your parents' house and just playing music for fun. You know, you were just kind of learning how to, you're self-taught, essentially.
Essentially, yeah. Guitar, I'm self-taught. I took piano lessons for years, and I basically applied the music theory that I learned on piano to guitar. So I didn't have any formal training on guitar, but I had lots of formal training on piano.
I will say it is because of you on piano that I know how to play the very beginning of a Metallica song. And you are not alone. That is it.
I feel like we should do a mashup of those two.
Now, I am not a musician. I have never claimed to be. I am not good. I don't think there's anything that I can play, actually. Although Dad got a real big kick because I was moving my acoustic guitar the other day, and I just started doing the dueling banjos thing. And he's like, "Do that again." So I did that again, and he's like, "Now play the rest of it." I was like, "That's all I know. Ross taught me that, and I just haven't learned anymore." So
you ran with it.
Yeah.
You learned that and you ran with it.
I'm a jack of all instruments and a master of absolutely none of them.
I'm kind of actually the same way. So let's see. I played guitar for like a period of like a year and a half. I played saxophone, sang in choir, played a little piano. Yeah. And you asked me to replicate any of that playing. Couldn't do it right now if I wanted to.
Nope.
It all happened through like a really strange period of my life where I was just like, you know what? I'm going to play music because I'm not old enough to drink whiskey. So I'm going to play music to express myself.
It was awesome growing up. Like, Ross lived fucking, 5 minutes down the road from me.
Yeah.
And I loved pianos. Like, I've always been fascinated with pianos. I could never play one to save my life. But I love watching other people play. And between you and your sister, I would just be sitting in the living room, and you guys would just be fiddling around on the piano, and I could just be like, Coca-Cola! And then you'd play the Coca-Cola theme song just out of nowhere on the piano. And then I could name a song, and then you'd just start playing that song. It's weird.
That was a thing about Emily, my sister. She was, and I'm sure she still is, able to hear something and be able to pick it out on the piano, like, almost instantaneously. I had to work my ass off to do any of that. Everything that I can do, I had to work pretty damn hard. My parents used to joke that I was tone deaf when I was a kid. So Emily has a great ear and just this natural ability. It just wasn't something that she wanted to pursue. And for me, it was something that I wanted to pursue, but I wasn't just naturally good at it the same way that she was. I'm sure that I have some, you know, some natural talent that a lot of people don't, but still, you know, I didn't have what she had. But yeah, the Coca-Cola theme was something any instrument she laid her hands on, she would figure out how to play.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
God, man.
No matter what, she would be able to pluck it out.
So, one question that I actually have for you, Ross, because I don't know if I've ever actually asked you this or if we've ever really talked about this. You have a very unique musical style, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What would you classify it as?
My favorite description of my music was Nine Inch Nails meets the Wiggles. That was the most flattering description of my music that anyone has ever given me, and I still stand by that. Because like I was equally as interested in bands like the Presidents of the United States of America and you know, we listened to tons of Weird Al growing up. You know, like the Gangster's Paradise album, I think was like
still is
at
one
its
of my
peak
favorites,
when
yeah.
we were yeah. So like I was always into that goofy stuff, but like I was also, especially in high school, like in seventh and eighth grade, we were listening to grunge. But like in high school, I started listening to industrial music and heavier stuff. Heavier for the time. Like I was just listening to Marilyn Manson recently and thinking like, wow, this is not that heavy.
Right. it's definitely not like the screaming death metal that they have now.
No. And there's some amazing, bands that are that style. But yeah, it's just, finding that combination of the weird, quirky stuff and the serious brooding stuff, because I love, the really heavy, melodramatic, electronic rock stuff. Like, right. That is just, like, it gets me every damn time. Nine Inch Nails' The Fragile is my favorite record of all time. I can go back to that at any point in my life and find something new in it and, you know, always find enjoyment of it. That's, like, the Desert Island record for me.
It's like but, Rob Zombie's Hellbilly Deluxe for me.
Sure. Yeah.
That album was really good for me. And like, I find myself like I'll be playing a video game and I just want to unwind or just kind of relax, and I'll put on like Dragula or Super Beast, and it's just like, yes. Wow, you know, this used to be considered really heavy, and it's like,
yeah,
it's not now, but right. It's still heavy metal. But dude, there's like people out there like Slipknot, they're heavy metal, and like. I can't even name some of the other bands where it's like, I can't understand even what the fuck you're screaming at me about.
Meshuggah?
Well, there's... Meshuggah. There's some stuff. And, like, all the stuff that I'm going to list now is dated by today's standards, too, because I don't keep up with the genre, but stuff like Between the Buried and Me, Opeth is amazing. I would highly recommend anybody check out Opeth. Mastodon is not, like... super heavy, but they're certainly heavy enough. That stuff is amazing. Stuff that I really, really dig in that genre. Oh. But
Fucking god damn it, I'm real bad with names again. I remember the name of the song, don't remember the name of the fucking band.
What's the song?
Dirty Hole.
Vast. Vast.
Again, yes. Great music, dude. We were playing Vast, one of the...
The first time we played Dungeons & Dragons
one
together.
One of the first times we played Dungeons & Dragons, yeah. We were listening to Vast.
Yes.
God damn. All right. So you can continue. I just had to chime in there with Dirty Hole. That's my favorite, hands-down Vast song. So
much.
Now he's just going to play.
Why not?
I mean that record, that first Vast record, is just so phenomenal. Great stuff. Sure. And it was perfect. It was like our Rush. Rush is notoriously the band that people listen to when they played Dungeons and Dragons back in the day. Vast was our version of that.
Yep. I'm not gonna lie, I still do. From time to time, I'll be on a call with all these people, all these knuckleheads, DMing for them on distractions, and in the background, I'll have YouTube on playing very, very low, and I'll have Vast playing. that and just, like, melodic music, like, just, like, random Celtic music, stuff like that.
Yes.
So, give us a few examples of like some of your song titles and maybe what they're about. If you wouldn't mind, I probably have a couple songs that I'd like to hear you play and see if you'd play for some of our listeners and for Devin.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think Devin, the only extent of Ross's music that you've listened to so far is the Brood intro, which actually isn't even the song. It's just the very, beginning tune to it. And then the Simply Unprofessional opening theme.
Yeah, well,
this is true.
The theme song for The Brood is a song called Vampires, and again, it's one of those songs that kind of borders between the goofy and the industrial kind of side. When I first recorded that, I was just doing it with synthesizers, and so it was like electronic drums and weird bleeps and bloops and distorted guitars. With my band Tuna Fish Discrepancy, we were just playing it like as a four-piece rock band, so it was a little bit more straightforward. Still on the heavy side, having that kind of like 90s alternative rock sound, but still being kind of quirky and weird. Particularly the lyrics. It's a little bit different when you play it on acoustic guitar, though. It doesn't have that same kind of weight, I still play it aggressively. So yeah, there's like vampires, zombies were people too. We are all filled with the blood juice. Proud of my rhinoceros.
Hands down, one of my favorites. Hands down. That and the Greek god sounding one that I always forget the name of.
Yeah, so Pericles is a song that there's a music video for. We did two music videos. We did a music video for Pericles with the whole band, I did a music video for Mortimer the Dentist, which was a song that I wrote under the moniker. Like when you do the music thing and you're not just doing acoustic guitar and singing songs, you know, you kind of come up with aliases, like rappers will have aliases. So what? My alias.
Give me an example of a rapper who has an alias, Ross.
Alias.
What?
How about Snoop Dogg?
That's not his real name.
That's his Christian name.
Snoop Dogg. I mean, I think I have a harder time naming rappers who don't have.
I'm thinking of like J. Cole. Like, is that like a rapper name? Or
I think
Kendrick
it is.
Lamar?
Kendrick Cole Lamar? Is because J. Cole is just Kendrick Lamar. Okay, I think Kendrick Lamar actually is his real name. Because J. Cole, he shortened his name. It's, you know, I mean, his real full name is Jermaine Cole.
Right, right.
Which,
but I figured it's like
that's
close.
Fine. That's close enough.
Yeah,
Kendrick Lamar's real name is, I believe, Kendrick Lamar. But I'm happy he dropped his last name. Because his last name, he would have no cred of all time. So his full name is Kendrick Lamar Duckworth.
Wow. Oh, man. Oh man, can you imagine like picking up a copy of How to Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick Lamar Duckworth?
Well, I'll tell you what, none of those bitches that you guys just named, and that's exactly what they are, have anything on Bob from Bob 5. All I gotta say. All I gotta say.
I've traveled through space and time. Annihilating aliens is easy as pie. But baking a pie is harder than it looks. If you don't know how to cook. So put on an apron and come with me. Betty Crocker knows, and if you patiently wait and watch, this shit will rock. It's Bob and Crocker B. And I forget how we ended it.
That's how we ended it. Either that or we put a yeah on the end of it.
Yeah.
So, Devin, here's a little tidbit that you don't know, because I don't say it very often. That is me and Ross's band. Is called Bob 5, or sometimes it's 5 Bob 5, but I think we just shortened it to Bob 5.
Bob 5, yeah.
And that's our one and only song that we wrote together.
I like it.
And it's the
best song ever written.
And I played the bass guitar in that,
yes.
But I don't remember how. So every time we ever had to play it, Ross had to show me what like two chords I had to play, because I don't know anything about instruments.
I smell the roots of a very successful band coming along.
Oh
yes,
Ross.
Be the next Tenacious D.
Yes.
So, give the listeners and Devin a very quick. Not definition. I guess a very quick explanation of Proud of My Rhinoceros. And then why don't you go ahead and, if you want to, feel free to play that one for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Proud of My Rhinoceros. I don't know where it came from. It was just something.
I know where it came from.
Where did it come from?
You.
Well, yeah. But it's one of those things. It was one of those songs that, like, I feel like I came up with the title and just kind of built a song around it. I'll do that a lot. Sometimes it yields something a little bit more profound. In this case, I was just, you know, just running kind of stream of conscious with words about a rhinoceros. Lots of people thought it was thought it had phallic implications. That is their own Oedipal fixation, or not Oedipal, but it's their own Freudian fixation.
Edible.
Hey,
speaking of which, I got to scroll
edible
up.
And Freudian.
I need to scroll up in our Skype chat because all I'm staring at for the last 20 minutes is a peanut butter and onion sandwich.
The only thing missing from that is just a nice big spoonful of mayo.
Oh, God. Damn. Just as a topping, just a dollop of mayo on the top.
Just a dollop.
All right.
Oh, my God.
So, Ross, when you play this song, Devin, I want you to do me a favor.
What?
I want you to envision rhinoceros. And I only want you to do this because this is what I do. I want you to envision a rhinoceros wearing a lab coat.
Ah!
Okay?
Okay.
That's all. That's every time, that's what I see. So, Ross, whenever you're ready, feel free to take it off.
All right, here we go. He's good at being big, yeah, better than the rest. He's good at everything. I'm proud of my rhinoceros. If you could manage to believe, he'll never fail to test. His English and arithmetic test higher than the best. I'm proud of my rhinoceros. I'm proud of my rhinoceros. I'm proud of my rhinoceros. I'm proud of my rhinoceros, yeah. He's loved by all the Indians, yeah, no one dares contest. They'll know him when he's seen, a rhino with a doctorate. I'm proud of my rhinoceros, 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 yeah. He's captain of the team. Proud of my rhinoceros, he's everybody's dream. I'm proud of my rhinoceros, he operates machines. I'm proud of my rhinoceros, been knighted by the queen. I'm proud of my rhinoceros, yeah. I'm proud of my rhinoceros, yeah. I'm proud of my rhinoceros, yeah. Motherfucker, yeah.
I like it. I absolutely like it. That was great.
Thank you.
Honestly, you know what I envisioned? I can give you an exact idea of what I envisioned with that.
Okay, here comes
was
another.
A cut scene, like one of those, like, in his head, JD visions from Scrubs, where there's a rhinoceros walking around the hospital in a fucking lab coat. That's exactly what I envisioned. Good. Like the perfect rhino doctor. And oh, here, Webby, here you go. It's not a lab coat, but it's the best I could do.
Hell yeah.
There we go. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That's always been one of my favorite songs. It's one of your older ones, too, right?
Yeah, I wrote that when I was 18, I want to say. And I'm 33 now.
You
so.
Old fuck.
However long ago that was. definitely one of the earlier songs that I've ever written. It's the earliest song that I stuck with, you know, when you first start writing. And even now when I write songs, like, I still write tons of garbage and, you know, I keep the stuff that I like the best. But, you know, that early stuff.
I do the same thing when I'm writing. I write a lot of garbage, but I end up keeping that in case I reread it later and something just clicks and I can just turn it into something better.
Yeah, yeah, you find it, you use it for spare parts later on. It's right. Like, you know, you think about it in a different way. It's like, oh, no, that the only thing that's wrong with this is, you know, this needs to be over here. And then all of a sudden everything works and I just change up some of the words and then it's fine.
Yep. Like, Bob Five had a second song that was in the works for the longest time, but it kind of fell to the wayside because we just couldn't finish writing it. We couldn't get it to work.
You know, one song is all we needed.
It's true, but this one had garbage bags in it.
Fantastic. Oh, was it the rap one?
It was In the Ghetto.
Yeah.
Was that supposed to be a rap? Because that's not how I envisioned it at all.
It was a rap at the end. Oh, God, can I remember it? Oh, gosh, let me see. Sorry to anybody who enjoys rap, because I'm going to fuck this up.
In the Ghetto.
This is an abomination. It was like, pose a white trash in the ghetto blast. Last time I checked, you were a gutter rat, Jack. So here's a dime. Now check the time. Time to take a shower, bathe a couple of or some herbal essence in your presence, and you'll get the flower power. And I can't remember the rest. Oh, damn. I can't believe I remember that.
You're already doing better than Fred Durst, so there you go. I'll take
it. Hey, you got to have faith, man. You got to have faith.
True.
Especially while you break stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I don't care what people say about Fred Durst. I liked break stuff. Or whatever.
I like Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I don't think he's the most talented person out there.
The best example is going back to our movie example.
Entertainment.
Not every singer is designed to be good.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Limp Bizkit is not a good band, but they work.
They serve a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kid Rock, he's not a good singer, but he serves his purpose.
Yes, I try to say that about I try to reinforce that, like, especially as we're getting older. I know that, like, you know, we're not that old. We feel old right now.
Yeah,
but we're
according
gonna,
to some
we're
people
be...
in Distractions Media, we're fucking old fucks.
Yes, that is the truth.
This is for you, Emily.
And
this
is really funny considering the age between me and Webby. And it's like, so if I'm old, what the fuck is he? Oh.
But yeah, like, you know, people are already complaining. People our age, Pat, are already complaining about, you know, music today and stuff today. And it's like, no, it's just not made for you. Like, there was stuff that was made for us, and this stuff isn't made for us.
Right.
It like, doesn't make it any less valid.
Me and Connor went to town. We just drove into town the other day, right? I took him. I had to go to CVS and the gas station or whatnot. And on the way back, Nirvana came on. Okay, smells like Teen Spirit.
Ooh,
I fucking cranked it, right? Because that's nostalgia to me. You know, I have memories of sitting on a school bus just, you know, headbanging to this song. And he looks at me, he's like, what is this? I was like, it's fucking Nirvana. Now listen. And he's like, I can't understand it. I was like, I can't understand you. And then I shut the radio off. And then he's like, I thought you liked, like, Simon and Garfunkel. I was like, first, bonus points for knowing the name of that. But second, yes, I do. But fuck, I mean, Jesus, so doesn't Pablo. You know, that's... Yeah, it's just the music that I grew up with, but I don't know. He listens to anything that has cuss words in it and fart jokes.
Because edgy.
Oh, of course.
The edgier the better.
Edgy, yes.
Edgy.
Yeah. Edgy. I don't know. Just throw him a sugar album at him.
So, I do have a question for you, Ross. The
Yes.
The Vampire song. Now... Listening to The Brood, and it be the very beginning part of that being The Brood intro music.
Yes.
You can tell it's very, you know, synthesized and whatnot. How do you make something like that where, you know, you're playing around on the computer and you're adding a bunch of different instruments and effects and whatnot, How do you change something like that over to acoustic? Or does that not work in all the cases? Is it very case by case?
To some extent, it's case by case, but more often than not, I write stuff on acoustic guitar and then turn it into the electronic stuff. So the Vampires I actually originally wrote on a baritone ukulele. That's how I originally played.
As you do.
So, Ross,
yes.
For all the listeners out there, you know, the dumb ones, mainly the ones maybe from the South, what's a ukulele? Explain to them. I mean, obviously, me and Devin, we're fucking smartest people
totally
in the world. We know.
I know ukulele. I love ukulele.
Ukulele is like a small guitar. It only has four strings, and it's tuned. Excuse me. It's tuned higher than a guitar. So
why don't they just call it a mini guitar?
Because there are.
Guitar petite.
A guitar petite. Well, they actually make smaller guitars. They make smaller scale guitars, and they make tenor guitars, which have a smaller body, but still have all six strings. Okay. So the thing that makes a ukulele unique is the tuning. It is tuned higher than a guitar, as well as the fact that it only has four strings. And traditionally, a ukulele also has in place of the what would be the lower string on a guitar, is tuned an octave higher. I have a different ukulele that does not have that. So this is my ukulele here. So it has clearly a different sound than the guitar.
Okay, yeah.
It sounds kind of like a lighter classical guitar.
Kind of like what those people in Hawaii play at the luau.
You got it. That's what it is.
I knew that. I was doing
brother
that for the listeners. Okay.
Good old brother is.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I was explaining for the listeners because I knew. Now, let me ask you this, Ross, because I remember asking you this a long time ago, and I think you were just nodding in agreement to be nice. I think you just didn't want to break my heart. Ever since I saw that movie, cult classic, everyone should see it, called Country Bears, they have a guitar in there that I've always wanted. It's kind of like a banjo, but it only has one string. They called it the one string thing. Is that feasible? Like, could I play a banjo or a guitar with only one string and still sound all right?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that something that I would be competent to be able to play?
I bet you could do something with it. Okay. What I feel like there's a name for something like a bass with the one string on a stick or something like that. I feel like there's an actual name for one of those, but I don't
guitar?
Know what it is.
I mean, I'm guessing.
I don't think that's what it is.
No,
No. I don't.
Oh, okay. No, that's not what they call it nowadays. That's politically incorrect. Special needs guitar? Is that also politically incorrect? I don't know words. I'm not a wordsmith. Am I digging myself a deeper hole, Devin?
I think the hole is as deep as it needs to be.
You know what? Luckily, because he's out of a job, we hired Sean Spicer and the Mooch. So let them take it away.
It's true.
They will talk you out of this hole.
You know what else the South had that I didn't like? Slavery.
Yeah, that's
am I digging myself out of this hole yet?
Wait. What'd you say?
Slavery.
For a second, you know what? I thought you were way more shallow than that. I thought you said Flavor Aid, which is like a generic knockoff brand of Kool-Aid. I was like, what?
Oh, no. Ross, what were those little fucking...
We need to abolish Flavor Aid.
Yes. We're going to start a campaign to get rid of Flavor Aid. Dude, what were those little juice boxes that looked like kegs, but they were little plastic ones with the little foil lids?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know if your mom ever laid.
I know
exactly. My mom would let me drink it in the grocery store.
They call it what? Fruit barrels? Are they called fruit barrels?
Maybe something like that, dude. They sell them down at Shaw's again. I haven't seen them in forever, and then all of a sudden I walk by,
hugs.
There's like five
little
cases.
Hugs. That's what they're called. Hugs. Little Hug fruit barrels.
Yes.
Oh my God, they would have like this weird, like stingy taste. To
yes,
them.
They would. Super all the sugar. Artificial. All it was sugar. All the artificials burning you.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so getting back on topic, you have your ukulele. Can I hear an example of what that vampire song would sound like on the ukulele? Is that
yeah,
possible?
So I actually, yeah, no. I actually, it's one of the ones that I can do on this. So I wrote the vampire's song on what's called a baritone ukulele. So it, baritone ukulele is actually tuned the same as a guitar. But it still just has the four strings. So it sounds like a mini classical guitar. Baritone ukulele, you could argue, is just like a tiny guitar.
Baritone ukulele is a guitar petite.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha. Yeah, precisely. So what I play is a tenor ukulele. So I've still got a long neck and a relatively big body,
I've seen you. You do not have a long neck or a big body.
I do not. Nope, neither.
Neither.
But this is kind of what something like that might sound like. So this is vampires. The version that is the theme song to The Brood, that is actually the entire band playing on that. So that is the Tuna Fish Discrepancy. So Tim Kukas on bass, Nat Ward on guitar, Tom Holmes on drums, and me. I did all the the lead work and stuff on there. But yeah, so this is vampires. Watch out, you pretty girls, vampires, like pretty girls, and they're coming for you. Yeah, they're coming for you. They'll seem like charming guys until you realize it was all a disguise. Yeah, it was all a disguise. Then one by one they'll lure your bikini-clad friends into a deadly game of necking, yeah. So when they ask you out, just say that you're a lesbian, but we can still be friends. Yeah, we can still be friends. They won't buy it for a second. They'll know that you were lying through your teeth, and they'll get all self-conscious and think you thought they were weird. I promise you this, I won't let anything happen to you, and all of your friends can stay at my house. And that is that song.
Nice. Oh, I loved hearing that played on that instrument. Yeah, because I've only ever heard the synthesized version.
Right, right.
Especially with the lyrics, it's really it's great.
Oh man,
it's a very different tone.
Honestly, with how that show's going, you probably could throw that version in front of it. It'd be just as it works just as well.
Yeah, no, the Brood. Yeah, it's pretty on par with what the Brood stands for.
Excellent. I need to catch up. I think I've only listened to the first episode so far, so I'm behind on the Brood.
Yeah, they get kind of spooky.
I gotta edit, you know, so.
Yeah.
Don't catch up too fast. I still gotta edit.
See, Devin is my the Brood editor for me, because I promise him in game goodies if he edit it for me.
So. Yeah.
Nice.
See, he said that I would have edited it for him anyway because he was having a mini panic attack attempting to edit it.
Yeah.
So I said, "Hey, I got your back, buddy. Don't worry."
So in return, I definitely play favorites. In the Brood, Devin is my favorite. He gets pretty much what he wants most of the time.
Excellent.
Other times he'll ask for something and that item will show up, just not in the game he's expecting. That dagger's still out there, Devin. The dagger's still out there.
I just thought it was a really cool idea.
So, Ross.
Yes.
You came to me. It's not out yet, so we're not going to talk about the story at all.
Okay.
But you came to me and you had the D&D itch.
Yes.
And you were like, "Pat, I want to play D&D. I don't really know who to ask. Is there something we could do?" So I tossed together a little side game that takes place in the world of Distractions, Dungeons and Distractions. It is now going to be the second side game that I DM for in that same world, taking place on yet another separate continent than the main story. This one will take place on the mainlands. So for those of you who want to find out a little bit more about the mainlands, you can look forward to listening to those. And Ross is a player in that one.
I'm very excited about it, too.
Along with Austin, and Devin is going to be joining you shortly.
Excellent.
So, just wanted to throw that out there.
Excellent.
Hopefully we're going to be able to get back on our normal schedule. I'm thinking sometime after Gen Con, once these cons start dying down and everything kind of pans back down to normal, we'll get back.
Oh, yeah, anytime there's a convention, it messes up podcast schedules. Like, as a podcast listener, anytime these things come up, like the, you know, the release schedules get all out of whack.
Yep, not simply unprofessional, folks, because
no.
This week's episode is going to be this one, which will be taking place on Friday while Boston Comic Con is going on. It'll be the first day of Comic Con. Next week's episode, I might even make a live episode from Comic-Con, so you'll be getting one about a week late, but who knows, maybe I'll release two next week. Let's see how motivated I really am.
I'll motivate you. I won't be there, but I'll motivate you.
No promises. Just holding that out there. I don't want to.
He's totally promising right now.
I don't want to sign up for something I'm not prepared to deliver on.
He's totally saying something he's not prepared to deliver on.
All I'm saying, enough people fucking nagged me one time for, "Hey, just release two episodes this week." So I did, all right? So, God damn it. Anyway.
So what he's saying is, if you want something, you just bug the shit out of me.
So for those of you just tuning in, we're talking with Ross Malcolm Boyd, magician.
And amateur porn star.
Amateur porn star, actor. Philosophizer.
All of these are correct.
Cook.
I actually do have legit cook experience.
And Ben pilot? Stiller's personal hand bodyguard.
Pilot.
That's true.
And
he guards Ben Stiller's hands. Just his hands. Nothing else.
And foot model.
Yes.
I asked you not to talk about that one.
I'm sorry. He did quite stand in work for Frodo. Oh, man. So,
for everything that, you know, for every way that I am akin to hobbits, the feet are not one of them. I have hairless feet.
That is true. You know what, folks? I'm going to throw this out here, and I don't care who wants to judge anybody for it. Ross, extremely hairy ass. That's all I gotta say. He's laughing because it's true.
It is true.
But this little bastard here would get out of the shower at his house while I was over, walk around, and then just walk away and let the towel drop. Like, come no on, shame. Ross. Jesus.
Zero shame.
Hey, that's the way to live your life. No shame.
Exactly.
I have
no shame.
I have all of the shame. So that's just me.
If you feel a certain type of way about me, then you should feel ashamed. That's how I feel.
There you go.
I like that philosophy.
Yeah, Devin, did you have any questions for him? I don't know if you. I asked a couple people if they could come up with some questions, and no one got back to me.
I mean, it's not even so much of coming up with questions. I think I'm good. I mean,
yeah,
you told a lot just through your interaction. Questions didn't have to be, didn't have to be said.
Yeah,
you know, you covered the. You know, the musical inspiration. So are you kind of living the life of the traveling artist?
Yeah. I mean, that's been a weird thing. So for about a year, just shy of a year, my wife and I started traveling the country. We now live full time in an RV, and we've been traveling the country, playing music, and getting work wherever we can find it. So right now we are working as activities directors in North Carolina on the Outer Banks. So we're like on an island off the shore of North Carolina. This is our gig now. Like it's wild, it's difficult, and it's incredibly rewarding. going, you know, just seeing the country has been amazing, and it's always been a dream of mine to play music everywhere, like, you know, being a touring artist. And it is kind of a dream that is slowly but surely happening, and that's really exciting.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Happy for you, man.
Thank you very much.
And see, for the listeners out there, this is technically your first time on Simply Unprofessional.
Yes.
But for those of you who have been with us for quite a while, you know that we used to be Tavern Talk, and then we had to go through a name change once we got our own feed and such. You were on technically, I believe, two episodes of Tavern Talk was when we did our last year's 24-hour playthrough of Final Fantasy VII.
Yes.
We set a challenge. We were attempting to beat Final Fantasy VII because we were told when we were younger that it's impossible to beat in 24 hours. And I still say, to this day, fuck that speed test guy. No way in fuck he beat it in 7 hours or close to 8 hours. No way.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Dude, 15 hours in, you're still on disc one, all right? Dude.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I mean, we did our fair
share.
Disc
two is kind of quick. Disc two is kind of quick.
Disc three is the fastest.
Disc three is the fastest. Disc two, and I mean, they get
still
incrementally smaller. But
everyone says everyone says skip the dialogue. Guess what? On a PlayStation 1, the original console that came out for, you cannot skip the dialogue. You can't. Right. There's not an option. All you can do is mash the button as fast as you can.
Yep. The biggest thing about like speedrunners basically find. They just exploit glitches in the game. Most of them, not 9 out of 10. They exploit glitches to pad their time. So it's not really a fair statement because you're cheating to win. Effectively.
Right.
You're not cheating. You're taking advantage of something to win.
Right.
So I don't view it that way. I would love to see what's the fastest time it can be beaten. I mean, with skipping dialogue, I would love to see it was the fastest time it can be beaten without exploiting anything in the game.
Now, I would say I was extremely proud of us. We set ourselves a goal for 24 hours because, like I said, when we were much younger, when it first came out, people say it was impossible. that was the general rule of thumb. So me and Ross have been wanting to do this forever and a day. We finally sat down. We set ourselves a 24-hour goal. We did not meet that 24-hour goal, but we ended up beating it in 25 and change. So we were not far off. And we did do a couple of the side things. So had
we
not
did, so
done
we did a little bit of
dilly-dally. Yeah, had we not did a few of the side things, I think there was a good 20-minute chunk in there at least where we were just sitting at the Golden Saucer. I was playing, but I wasn't moving anything, and we were talking about D&D. And then I was like, oh, I should probably be doing something on this first.
Yeah.
And then we even hunted down Yuffie, however you pronounce
yeah.
it. You know,
and
we got
Vincent.
Her and Vincent, which we didn't need to go through all that side stuff to do, but we opted to do so.
Right.
But I was very.
Did you get Knight of the Rounds though?
We did not do any of the Chocobo racing.
Did you get the Sephiroth party unlock? I'm kidding.
No. So, I will say that, Ross.
Yes.
I forgive you.
Thank you.
But you
Thank
let me,
you.
You let me down a little bit.
I know.
That whole entire... Devin, I don't know if you listened to that tavern talk. That whole entire gaming session, once we got Ares, I did not have her equipped with anything. I let her keep her original weapon. I even took her ribbon off. I was like, you get nothing, you stupid bitch.
That's a perfectly good ribbon that's just going to go to waste.
Yep. So I gave her nothing, and I did not put her in our party unless she was forced to be in our party. And one of the times that she was forced to be in our party, we were getting hung up on something, and me and Ross were, pretty much passing the controller back and forth, just giving this our good old college tries, beating one of these boss fights, and Ross ended up equipping her with stuff.
Yes.
I forgive you.
To be fair, I will side with Ross on this one because especially when you know she's going to die, that's when you unequip her stuff.
Right. I can get that.
Oh, by the way,
I wanted
spoiler
her,
alert for
I just
a
wanted
God
her
knows
to go
how
through.
Old game.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? Ares dies. If you didn't already know, go fuck yourself. You are probably from the south. God, this hole is getting deeper.
Dude, you realize I'm still down here.
You probably eat peanut butter and onion sandwiches. That's all
yes,
we're saying.
With a
dollop of mayo.
With a dollop of mayo.
I'm in the heart of the new Confederacy, man. You gotta keep it down.
I do agree that...
And he's on an island. I mean, not really...
I do agree that the smart choice would have been to equip her with stuff and then just unequip her of all the stuff right before you knew she was going to die. But honestly, I was being vindictive and I was allowing her to be played through the entire game knowing that she was useless and knowing that she would never amount to anything or have anything nice.
Oh, man, that is cold.
Yeah, no, fuck her. First time I played through it, hands down favorite character. She was my healer. I fucking loved her. And then she made me hit rock bottom, and it was crushing, and I've hated her ever since.
What is the
Viva
deal
Viva Latifa.
Phoenix?
Viva Latifa and Yuffie. Those are my two.
Why even have Phoenix Downs if you can't save Ares, you know?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Like, what is
no
the
joke.
Deal?
How come you can't use the Phoenix Down on Ares? Why? Because Sephiroth stabbed her? Whatever. Yeah. Fuck, who cares?
Bull.
Phoenix Down. Revive magic. Revive materia, you know?
I just wanted a Chocobo playable character just to have, like, in my party.
Yeah.
Why hasn't that happened yet? Has that happened yet?
Final Fantasy
Tactics. I don't
think so. Final Fantasy Tactics. You can have Chocobos in your party and play them.
Final Fantasy Tactics is the best Final Fantasy game, confirmed.
It really is.
There are three different color ones. There are yellow ones who have a Choco heal, which they will heal all adjacent characters. There is a black Choco that does, I believe, a meteor. And then there is a red one that does, like, a weird fart fireball maneuver.
Okay, like your new challenge,
like,
if you choose to accept it, is to run through Final Fantasy Tactics using only a party of Chocobos.
Holy shit.
Well,
that's great.
You'd have to get to the part where you can get Chocobos, but yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, from that point forward.
From that point on, yeah.
Well, the only hard part with that is, storyline-wise, they force you to have at least the main character.
That's fine. I mean, but the rest is all Chocobos. All
right.
Name the main character. Name your character Chocobo.
There you go.
Oh, there you go. Then you win by technicality.
And then you have to come with the whole backstory of, you know, he was raised in the wild by wild chocobos. In the first part of the adventure, he's traveling with other people just to reunite with his family.
And then
once reunited with his family, they're bent on world domination.
And then you gotta divvy up, and then you gotta divvy up the job things into which chocobos trained him at each job.
Yes.
Yes.
So like all of your magic and MP using classes are trained by, say, the yellow chocobo, and all of your martial classes like lancer and knight and squire are trained by the black chocobo, and then all of like the weird different ones like mediator and oracle.
I forgot that was a class.
Dude, mediator, that's how you get all the monsters. That's the best way
I
to
know.
Get them.
I know. It's so funny though. I forgot about that was a class. It's
hell
like,
yeah.
All right, listen up everybody. We're not going to fight. Hear me out. You fucking hire a lawyer. Who brought a lawyer to a gunfight?
Yeah. No, it's funny too, because like I'll corner people in each match.
Just mediate the shit out of them.
And I'll just like
yes.
I'll just keep inviting them, and it'll just say miss, invite. It's like, ha! I knew you'd break eventually. And then I'd go on to the next person until I've fucking pretty much invited their whole enemy side onto my team.
What took me that divorce serving somebody papers approach to fucking monster capturing?
Yeah.
Like,
but I was telling Ross this the other day.
Where they can't leave. Yep. Like, I have to serve you these papers.
Yep,
so I'm going to wait till you're somewhere where you can't leave.
Yeah, until you break, because I won't.
Fucking walk like a bathroom, like a gas station bathroom. You just slide them papers under the door. You've been served.
And then what I do is, depending on who I get, I'll invite knights and mages and whatever enemies get thrown at me, I will demote them all down to squires, take all their gear, and then kick them out of my party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm evil. I'm fucking evil.
Hey, man, you're doing what needs to be done.
That's right. So, we've talked a little bit about Final Fantasy. We've talked a lot about food. Talked a little bit about your musical stuff, which is the main point of what we wanted to do. But hey, it's okay.
That's what the show is all about.
Well, not to mention that just means that if more people have questions for you,
come back.
They can come
episode.
Back. They can email me what those questions are, and we can have you back on.
That sounds great. Yeah, we can just drop like little hints about things that I've done in my life, like flying a plane.
I don't know exactly. Well, I did already say we put that under your job listing of all the things that
true.
We are. I added pilot to that list.
Yes, you did.
You heard it here, folks. Everything that me and Devin said that he was
is
all
true.
Of it true. All of it true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if either one of you caught. I don't know if Devin would have even known, but I don't know if you caught the Simply Unprofessional post that I put on the Facebook page about having a very special guest this week, and then I put something about cooking, and it was a little Bob Five reference that I put at the end there, and no one's going to get that until they listen to this episode now.
Excellent.
But we are rounding about that hour 36 mark, so we're going to start wrapping up here, but I wanted you to... promote anything that you wanted to promote, upcoming shows around you, upcoming shows in general, your website, social media. What do you got going on, Ross?
Oh gosh, there's so much. So we're going to be back in New Hampshire in the fall after we finish up this summer gig on the Outer Banks. And we're going to be playing a show at the Hatbox Theater in Concord, New Hampshire, among others. That is going to be late September. You can go to rossmalcolmboyd.com for the details, or facebook.com/rossmalcolmboyd. Both of those places, you can find all sorts of videos, links to the albums. I've got a number of albums on Bandcamp at rossmalcolmboyd.bandcamp.com, however Bandcamp does that thing. rossandjamieadventure.com is the place that you can find out all about our travels that are not specifically music related, but just like seeing the country and all the weird things that we find on the way. So that's a pretty cool place. And we've also got a Patreon. You can find Ross and Jamie Adventure on Patreon if you want to help support this wacky ass lifestyle that we decided was a good idea. And it is.
Definitely. Devin, where can people find you on the interwebs?
You guys can find me on the interwebs at darrow3092.
And As always, you guys can find me on Twitter at Jax Forestwalker, all one word. I have an Instagram. Fucking find it. I don't know. Search my name, I guess. I don't know how social media works. Facebook. You can look at Facebook/fucking Simply Unprofessional, I guess. I don't know. Search Facebook for that. Email, simplyunprofessional@gmail.com. I knew that one. Our website at distractionsmedia.com. You can go there for links to all of our various things, other podcasts, etc. And as always, I'm going to say #fuckboostergold. Now, Ross.
Yeah?
I didn't think this through.
No, you didn't.
We have a
honestly,
thing.
when you called me yesterday, I thought that that's what it was going to be about.
You know, I didn't think about it until now.
Just let it go. Just let it go, man.
I didn't think about it until just now.
He likes Booster Gold, doesn't he?
He defends Booster Gold is the thing.
Ooh.
I will say, Ross.
Yes.
We've known each other a very long time.
Yeah.
Okay. Since fifth grade.
Yeah. Yeah.
We met on the school bus in the afternoon ride home.
That we did.
You remember how we met on that school bus?
Yeah, I was not being treated very well by the other children, and a voice from the back of the bus, rang above the rat boy and other names that were being hurled upon my small form. At which point I looked back and there was a dude, a little bit bigger than I. So come on back here. And you looked at me and you looked at everyone else and you were all like, you know, if you're gonna mess with him, you're gonna have to mess with me. Does anybody have a problem with that? Nobody did.
Goddamn right, no one did.
Exactly.
So.
So this is a song that I wrote for my wife, but I'm gonna sing it to you right now, Pat, because of what you mean to me.
Okay.
You don't know what you do to me. It's so simple, it slips past reasoning and turns to instinct as it keeps repeating. And I repeat the same refrain time and again, my mantra, the closest thing to God. And I am not afraid to say what I mean. It's not about the when, I'm concerned with the how. 'Cause I don't write love songs. And I don't want to start right now. But you're better than an ape made of metal when he's wearing live tigers for shoes. Or a shark that can fly and also swim in lava pools. Yeah, that's dangerous but beautiful. I can't not tell you that you're beautiful. Oh, no, no. Yes, yes, no, wait, I don't know. But I know that you're better than a cyborg unicorn with rainbow laser eyes. Or a stubby-tailed dog with glasses on his butt, yeah. Yeah, that's a clever disguise. You're clever. Clever and you're beautiful. Sorry about the dog butt thing, guys. I just got a little carried away there is all. Carried away by your brilliance. Carried away by a rainbow laser from a cyborg unicorn. Carried away on the back of a shark that can fly, yeah. Carried away by an ape with live tigers for shoes, yeah. you're just that cool. I can't not tell you that you're beautiful, that you're clever, clever and you're beautiful. And you know what? Fuck Booster Gold.
Yeah! My man!
You're just that cool.